The Ringer Gambling Show is here to help you place your bets on the biggest sports around the world. Join NFL analyst Warren Sharp on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays with guests Chris Vernon, Ben Solak, and Joe House to guide you through the NFL betting landscape. Each week, they'll cover everything from spreads, game totals, and parlays to player props, futures, post-game reactions, and more. Check out The Ringer Gambling Show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Ringer NBA Show presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Nissan SUVs. It's good to stay up to date like I do with the NBA. You might catch me walking around the street. I'm listening to the Ringer NBA show, or I might be online looking at theringer.com, looking at some power rankings from Howard Beck. Or, you know, I might listen to old episodes of Real Ones. And that's why the 2024 Nissan Rogue has Google built right into its 12.3-inch touchscreen infotainment system. With Google Maps Assistant, you can stay up to date on everything that's ahead without even needing to connect your phone. Find your next adventure with the Nissan SUV. Learn more about the Nissan Rogue, Pathfinder, and Armada at nissanusa.com.
Hey, this is an emergency podcast edition because of a massive trade between the Pacers and the Kings. Full details are this. Domantas Sabonis is going to Sacramento with Jeremy Lamb, Justin Holiday, and a 2027 second-round pick for Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson. This is a big deal for both of these franchises, considering how long Sabonis has been involved in trade talks, considering how long Buddy Hield has wanted out of Sacramento. And to talk about it, I brought on Sirit Sohi and then Logan Murdoch from The Ringer to talk about it. And we recorded this live on Green Room. So before Sirit got on and after her and Logan got off, I took questions from the chat, brought people on stage. We had a Q&A, talked about a whole bunch of stuff. And I will 100% be doing more Green Rooms either Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday morning, who knows? I'm going to be doing more of them before the NBA trade deadline at 3 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. So stay tuned to my Twitter feed for that or download the Spotify Green Room app, and that'll notify you anytime I go live. And some of those will be posted on the Mismatch or the Ringer NBA show feed, but, you know, not all of them will be. So stay tuned for those, and otherwise, enjoy this conversation.
I imagine this has been very much discussed, but I'm very stuck on the Ty Halliburton of it all.
What has you stuck?
How do you trade him? How do you trade him? I'm excited to go through the nuances of it, I guess. But right now, on the face of it, I'm looking at it and I'm like, wow, like the Kings traded Ty Halliburton and Buddy Hield so they could maybe try to make a run for the seventh seed, you know?
So one of the things that I asked Nikias, and like, I don't necessarily believe this, but playing devil's advocate with myself and everybody here listening, with the Kings here, we view Tyrese Halliburton as 21 years old in the second year of his entire NBA career. He's just the beginning, and he's already so good. Fox is out last month, and he's averaging 21 points and 12 assists, and he looks great. And he's just this fun player who brings life to the floor and energy. Like, he's just a joy to watch. But right now, Sabonis is better. Sabonis is the best player in the deal, undeniably. Undeniably, he's the best player in the deal today as a two-time All-Star. If you're the Kings, I wonder if privately they think, yeah, Halliburton's a really nice young player, but he's not going to be a top 25 guy. He's not going to be an annual All-Star candidate. I wonder if privately they feel that way. Why not is my question, but is there any logic to that? if Sacramento does feel that way at all. Is there any logic to that? If they feel he's going to cap out as like a nice player, a winning player, but not an all-star player, and that they might say, what's everybody talking about? We got the best player in the deal.
I mean, I they could definitely think that, right? Like, that's, you know, it's the Kings, right? They could definitely think that. But the way that I look at it, and I kind of look at every Kings player this way, or every young Kings player this way, is that, like, Ty Halliburton looks this good on the Kings, you know? Like, rookies aren't really even supposed to look that good on teams that are that dysfunctional, honestly. Like, a lot of the times, like, you know, just we know how important player development and all those things are. So I think this is a win for him, right? Like, that's like, I feel like he'll like, this is a win for, you know, Rick Carlisle. He'll get to, you know, coach Ty Halliburton, who's also, by the way, like, just seems on all accounts somebody who has like the right habits as well, who came into this team with like, with right habits, and, you know, perpetually, like, you know, from what I've seen so far, early in his career, like, has consistently made like incremental improvements. He's improved on last year's numbers, and like, he's a really great playmaker. He's a really intuitive player. Like, he's just he presents things to you that I just don't think you can get from, you know, your average young prospect. You know, like, just the potential that he has because of the way that he reads the game. He's already, like, you know, 10 times smarter than a lot of veteran NBA players. So I don't know. I don't think that there's really, like, it's way too early to put a cap on who he can be. And on the other end of it, like, I agree. But like, it's just like trading. They traded, I guess, like, you know, the future for the present, but it just doesn't really make that much sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think you nailed it when you said Halliburton's made these incremental improvements as a player. And the big knock on him coming into the NBA out of Iowa State is, well, I mean, he has all these great intangible qualities, but can he create his own shot off the dribble? And he's become a guy where, I mean, I remember that game against the Sixers about a week or so ago, and he hits like these two crazy sidestep dribble jumper three-pointers with a defender right over him in like the fourth quarter. And like, he does that consistently. He's got the floater for mid-range. He looks so smooth pulling up, just a traditional pull-up from two. Like I said, you get the floater. He just can't, at this moment, he's not a guy who like really penetrates into the paint and draws fouls or really even finishes at a high level around the basket. But his handle is so much tighter. He uses hesitations. He can pull up from anywhere, from different angles, different areas of the court. He just, like, I think Halliburton, in my own personal evaluation, he went from a guy that you feel a high level of confidence that will at least be a good role player or a very good winning player who impacts winning in a starting lineup. He went from that to, at least for me, I felt like a guy that could potentially be one of your two or three best players. The best player on your team? No, I don't think so. I don't think Sabonis is or can be that either. But Halliburton can be one of your best guys. And that's why, like, it's just my overall thought here is just Sabonis is good, but Nikias said it earlier. If you're trading Tyrese Halliburton, it feels like you got to be getting back a top 10 to 15 guy. Like, you're trading up to that level with a team that's rebuilding and they want to blow it up, and Halliburton's the young player they want back. And Indiana isn't necessarily in that situation. They're more in a retooling phase. They're changing assets. They're not rebuilding here. So I don't know, man. I just don't feel good about it. I don't feel good for
Sacramento.
I think
you nailed it there about how it was, you know, like, sometimes you do trade the present for the future, right? It was just what they got back. And that's no disrespect to Sabonis. He is, like you said, he's the best player in this deal. And he's also, I mean, this is for Fox, like, going to be a really fun pick and roll partner too. Like, there's an on-court thing about this that's actually, like, it feels a little bit irrelevant right now, honestly, but it could also be pretty fun. We can get that later, but I think you nailed it. Just, you got to get more back if you're going to make this type of move. Like, if the Kings feel like there's a level of pressure on them, then, you know, kind of, you got to go big game hunting then if you have a prospect like Halliburton, and that's like the mode that you're in, and that's just not really what they did. But do you think that, like, maybe, like, I don't know if you've heard anything, but, like, do you think that maybe, you know, with looking like Simmons might not be available to like the horde of teams that don't have James Harden could have changed things.
I think that's probably part of it. That's definitely going to be part of it here.
This episode is supported by State Farm. Man, I remember when I first got into a car accident, it was pure frustration because I did not have State Farm. And now that I do have State Farm, it is an exclamation of pure joy. But the only words that you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com.
If you're the Kings, maybe you just sit and wait.
Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard. we haven't even talked about Buddy Hield too. It's not like Buddy Hield was just like a throw-in, like whatever part of this deal.
I wonder if there's a chance he could get flipped, because with Indiana now, like I could see them keeping him, but they also have a glut of guards and slash wings. In their backcourt now. You got Brogdon, you got Duarte, you got Halliburton now. It just seems like one too many guys, which is so similar to the same exact situation Buddy Hield was in with the Sacramento Kings. Even Lance Stephenson, for that matter, getting minutes for them. So, I mean, they get a lot of guys in that backcourt, and I wonder if maybe Buddy Hield is a guy that they could try to flip elsewhere. The Lakers still have interests and Buddy Hield. But now they got Malik Monk, who's killing it there. I'm sure other teams would like Hield, but with him, Hield's decision-making still needs to get better. His shot selection still needs to get better. His defensive focus and intensity needs to get better. I want to see Buddy Hield in a winning situation, because I still remember that dude at Oklahoma who did everything it took to win, who played hard and hustled and just brought energy to both ends of the court. And not that he was necessarily some defensive stopper, because he wasn't in college, but he brought effort at least. And that just has all gone away in the NBA. It's all gone. And it's not the level that it was before. And I'd love to see him get flipped to a contender here. Is there, and not that we've heard anything specifically about Indiana doing that, but is there any team that comes to mind where you're like, oh yeah, I'd love Buddy Hield on that roster?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like when you put it that way, and that's also what excites me about Halliburton going to the Pacers too. Not that they've been great this year, but I wouldn't really mind seeing somebody like Buddy Hield go through like the Rick Carlisle school of discipline, right? But for like as far as deals go, I honestly haven't thought about it that much. The Lakers are obviously number one in that, but like what do you think the Lakers could offer for Hield at this point?
I mean, it'd have to include Talen Horton Tucker. It'd be complicated, to be clear. You'd need a third team involved in that situation. Horton Tucker maybe goes to Indiana. Then you get other small salaries like Kendrick Nunn that could go elsewhere. So it's not impossible for them to get Hield. I'm just not sure that I'd even want him necessarily. I've heard there's still interest there. But you got Malik Monk, who's killing it, and you're going to have to pay him as well this offseason. So I don't know. I mean, I think we will probably hear some stuff. Again, this is just my gut. I haven't heard anything specifically myself, but I'd be willing to bet we'll hear some stuff about Indiana trying to flip Buddy Hield elsewhere. They just have too many guys. But that backcourt, though, that they have now, you got Halliburton and Duarte. Like, that's something to build with there. I like that combination of players. They complement each other so nicely.
Yeah, I think Peel just kind of falls into the place that the rest of the kind of veteran guys on that roster are, where I think Indiana, especially after getting Halliburton, is probably going to be even more incentivized to try to look for other deals where they can get more young assets. Because, this really got them on the road. Like, the Indiana side of this is really promising. They had a really tough season, and now... they have one of the better prospects that you can have, and they got back healed. They can throw him into a pile with just Like the thing I really like about Indiana's situation is that every single one of, not every single one, but you know, you look at Brogdon, you look at Turner, you look at Hield even, like those are types of players that a team that is on the upswing would want, right? Like they are players that you can kind of have faith in, like the skeletons of who they are holding up in the playoffs. Like every single one of those guys contributes to a winning team. They're not just like, you know, sometimes like teams, like the Kings actually kind of in a sense, like sometimes teams like have veterans that you kind of got to squint your eyes for a little bit. But, you know, I just think this is kind of getting the Pacers in a pretty promising place.
Adam Weber in the chat said, can we talk about the Pacers attempting to tank for the first time in over 30 years? Our highest
That's
pick,
a very good point.
Yeah, highest pick since 1990 has been 10th, according to
this
Adam.
This is exactly what the Kings aren't willing to do.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I've been thinking about this a lot in terms of, you know, the Pelicans as well, and a couple other teams that just won't tank, you know, when they have, and all these teams, like, you know, oftentimes, and the Blazers are kind of in this pool, obviously, you know, they've had Dame, so, you know, duh. But, you know, like, oftentimes I think, like, these teams that are not willing to ever tank, I mean, they get stuck in mediocrity, but I think that's heightened now in a league where there's just so much wheeling and dealing. And if you just kind of accept your fate, like, kind of take, like, the road that the Thunder have, even the Rockets have, and we'll see how that one goes, a little less faith in that one, then you can actually just, like, you know, you have a good shot then to make that process go really fast and actually make it fun for fans too, where they have, you know, a couple years of just hoping and, like, you know, rooting for potential and being obsessed with the draft and all that stuff. And, you know, kind of make a quick road to recovery, I guess. And these teams that just won't do it, I feel like they're more hamstrung than ever because everybody else is kind of just in a place where they know who wants what and they want different things. And it's easy to make deals.
Yeah. And now they're going to be in a position with Indiana right now. They'll have Brogdon, who could another movable guy if they wanted to move him. Because now you've got Halliburton and Duarte in that backcourt. Like they could next season, let's say they have some lottery luck, they could have Halliburton, Duarte, Paolo Banchero. Like that's a young big three to build with and have as your foundation that you're going to be, you know, building around moving forward. Cause with the Pacers, that they've always been in the playoffs. Always. Like I don't remember a time in my, I'm born in 1990. I don't remember a time in my life, the Pacers weren't at least competitive. And like this is, they've just never won a championship. But with the Pacers, they're always competitive. I feel like that they are on a path now with Halliburton and a potential top pick, assuming they keep sliding down and assuming they get some lottery luck, where like this, like you said, they could turn it around fast and become a competitive team again that has, that's in the playoffs or in the play-in at the least. And then if Halliburton becomes a top 25 guy, if their draft pick becomes a top player, suddenly we're talking about them as, you know, a deep playoff threat. Like it can happen fast, just like Memphis. We're seeing that right now, like how quickly things can change with the development of young players. Like if it happens quick, things can change overnight.
Yeah, agreed. Memphis is actually a team that came to mind for me.
This episode is brought to you by Arby's. There are so many excuses not to try Arby's. Things like, who the heck is Arby? I don't feel like a sandwich right now. Or how many times do I have to tell you? I'm vegan! Well, excuses end with Arby's Free Sandwich Month. Arby's Rewards members get one free sandwich with purchase every week in April, online only. Now trying Arby's doesn't sound so crazy, does it? Join Arby's Rewards and order ahead today. This episode is brought to you by Visible Wireless. Don't miss the premiere of your new wireless savings with Visible. It's time to switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. That's no hidden fees. No, really. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What are kind of some deals that you like for the Pacers going forward?
I mean, I love Miles Turner. I'd still explore what's out there for him. Some of the injury concerns are real. He doesn't rebound at the level that I would like. And I think also with him, the shooting is fine. It's not great. He wants a greater offensive role. I personally do not think he has the skill set for that. I believe it was with Jared Weiss over at The Athletic. He said something like, oh, I've had the same role for years. I want to expand on my game. I just don't think he has that. That's just like, no shade or hate towards Miles Turner here. But like his best skill set is protecting the rim, blocking shots, setting screens, popping for three, or rolling to the basket. Like those are his best skill sets. Not being a guy who creates his own shot. If he wants a higher usage, I get it. But if he wants more post-ups and more ISO opportunities from the perimeter, it's not your game, dude. And in that sense, I think with Indiana, I'd be curious to see what they could get for him. If it's just a pick. So there is that report this week that maybe the Raptors could flip Goran Dragic in a first round pick for Miles Turner. Does that make any sense in your opinion for the Pacers to just continue selling, getting draft picks and having more ammo in the draft?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. You know, on the Turner point, I think, you know, it gets complicated with big men when they're continuing to play a defensive role on a team that isn't winning games. Like I think they just lose the incentive sometimes. Like I think putting him in a situation like Toronto would be a great example where they have, you know, good player development within roles. Like they really do want players to expand their games, but they also have it working within a framework of, you know, first of all, you gotta play defense and, you know, you have to stick within your role to some extent. I think that could be really healthy for a player like Miles. You know, I think his touch, I agree. Like, you know, when you look at kind of the things that you look for in a big man to see if they should be expanding their offensive game and seeing if they could kind of be a real interior presence, I think his touch definitely leaves something to be desired. I think, like, you know, he's just a little, you know, his footwork, and he's just, you know, it just doesn't really necessarily have the grace of a guy that you would think being of being somebody who would, like, you know, isolate and stuff. But at the same time, like, those things never really develop unless there's an effort put into it. And I think oftentimes what happens with big men is that when they start off and they, like, and it doesn't go well in the beginning, like, guards continue to get those reps and big men just don't. So I like putting him in, like, a good developmental situation like that, where he'll kind of get to consistently just make slow expansions on his game. Because I do think that, like, I do think that as, like, a side, like, as a utility piece, he has more to offer than what he's been able to.
There was a comment in the chat from Greg Waddle saying Fox plus Sabonis is a top blank duo in the NBA. We got a response from Adam Weber, says top 50. Mike Sweeney says top 30. Leo Cat, top 20, Miami, my man. That's probably the only serious response there. I'm going to bring on our friend Logan Murdoch, who also in the chat responded saying, please bring me on. Maybe he wants to give a response to how does this Fox Sabonis duo rank in the NBA?
I'm in a sick place right now, guys, because I have just gotten back from just a glorious hike. I went and I saw, you know, it was beautiful, cleared my mind, had some real great times. And I come back to my phone and I see this egregious trade that the Kings have made. What the hell are the Kings doing? What are the Kings doing? Okay. I just feel like every single time they make a trade, I haven't even fully looked at it. I just know Buddy Hield is going to Indiana. I know Tyrese Halliburton is going to Indiana. By the way, you can check out a Tyrese Halliburton feature that I did on theringer.com. You guys go check that out. But why in the hell would you trade the farm for Sabonis? I just don't see that. I know when the Kings have a real love affair with a player, they just get them by any means. But that is one of the most dysfunctional organizations I've ever been around. I love some people in the organization. I do. But this is just egregious, man. I don't know if this is going to work out, but I don't think it will. There's so much dysfunction right now. And I just feel for Sabonis. Why would they do that? Why would they get rid of a piece? I think they could have built with a guy like Tyrese Halliburton. They could have. I'm sorry. I'm just in a very bad place. Please, somebody help. Somebody just help. I'm not in a good place right now. This is sad. This is a sad time.
Is there, like,
I'm
Kings fandom in you?
Nah, there's not Kings fandom in me. I just, you know, the proximity to Sacramento and to the Bay has just, I've seen a lot of Kings games. I interned around Sacramento when I was a kid. I remember one time that when the Maloofs owned the franchise, when during a game, a advertisement fell onto the floor because no one, because they had to cover said advertisement because they didn't want, they couldn't get sponsorship deals, and it fell on the floor during a game, and Coach Keith Smart had to pick it up during the middle of the game to take it off of the court because it just showed how much dysfunction that they had in their organization. Sarah, I am not a Kings fan. I did not grow up a Kings fan. I just feel for that fan base, man. They are just mired in mediocrity, and I don't think that it'll ever be better. I just don't.
At the beginning of this chat with Sarah, I was playing devil's advocate. I'm going to do that again here on behalf of Ben Kent. Ben Kent in the chat says, Sacramento is two games out of a play-in spot. Not saying this is the smartest move long-term by any means, but this is a win-now move for the 13-seed team. Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. Like it is a win-now move here. And this is a team that has a mandate to get into the postseason. Does this make them better, though, Logan?
I don't know if it remains to be seen if it makes them better, but the Kings, every year that they try to make a trade like this, when they did it with Harry B to get him during the backstretch, didn't really work out because it speaks because they're not building anything. They're trying to put band-aids on something that they, I think in a perfect world, they should break it all down and figure it out. But it starts from the front office. They're a dysfunctional group. And it shows when you hire someone like Luke Walton, who hasn't really proven anything as a coach in this league, then you don't make a decision during the offseason after you get a new general manager and put Alvin Gentry in to basically be a lame duck coach, you know? And then now you're saying, oh, we want to go to the postseason. There's never any plan in Sacramento. I think that that's the biggest thing that I'm struggling with KOC and Siri, is that there's never really a plan. And I think this is just a band-aid to an overall bigger problem that they have. They've drafted a great guy in Halliburton that you can, I don't think he's a star necessarily, but those are foundational pieces that you could put together to, you know, to build something long-term. And I just don't see them even going to the postseason. They're going to do all of this for what, a play-in game that they're probably not going to make it to the postseason. This is not a forward-thinking move and a franchise that never really has a plan. And I think that that's what's frustrating to me out of all of this.
I've just been perusing the Kings Reddit for the last minute or so. Logan, if you're looking for more catharsis, I think that's the place to go and find it. I'll give you guys a little snippet. There was one that was just, I got to give it to them for the creativity. There's a Kings logo in the middle with, it says Kings. And then on the left of it, it's F-U-C and then it's Kings and then T-U-P-I-D. So it's like, you know, fucking stupid with just using the Kings logo. It's truly an artistic masterpiece, honestly. Like I've been reading about drawing your anger, and I think this Redditor just did it to a T. Well,
That sounds like a very dark place, Kings Reddit. Thank you for your service here. That was rough. But that's been the Kings aren't going to get any better off of this trade. I don't have to look at it on paper. They don't have a plan. I don't think that they're going to make it. I don't think it's going to happen. I got a lot of love for some people in the Kings organization. I got a lot of love for the Kings fan base. And I just feel sorry. And I'm just really sad for them. That's all I had to say. I miss you guys. Hope you guys are doing good.
We're doing great, Logan. Thank you too for joining. I'm going to take some quick calls before we end this thing. But it was wonderful to talk with y'all.
Good times, guys.
I'll see y'all soon. Yeah, good times, man.
Thank you to Sarah Sohi and Logan Murdoch for joining. This was recorded live on Green Room. Had a ton of great discussions, and I look forward to doing more of those. Let me know if you'd have any interest in hearing those get posted on these feeds with the Q&As that I do. I think they're a lot of fun. I really enjoy them. Let me know on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you're on social media. And thanks again for listening. Thank you to Jesse Lopez and Sasha Ashall for producing. Really appreciate it. I hope you have a fun day. Enjoy the deadline. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. I want a big blockbuster. I'm ready for Ben Simmons, for James Harden. Let's make it happen. Let's go, baby. Anything is possible.